Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics and theology. We share debates and dialogues. We do rebuttals to videos that are critical of Catholicism on YouTube. We do all that during the week, but on Fridays, to celebrate the weekend, we have Free for All Fridays, where we talk about whatever I find to be interesting, and I think you'll find to be interesting as well. I talked about this subject once before, but I have some new details to share, and some of you may not have heard the previous one. I think this was episode number 270. So going back probably about a year or over a year ago for Free For All Friday, I talked about how I was obsessed with industrial safety videos. So when I go places with my kids, I'm such a wet blanket. Laura's like, oh, you know, you need to have fun. And I'm there and I'm like, rusty nails, entrapment hazard, strangulation hazard. You know, I think in another life, I was an OSHA inspector, or I was like a safety inspector. If I wasn't a Catholic apologist anymore, I'd probably just become a safety inspector somewhere. I would love doing that. Maybe that helps me as an apologist. Like when I look at arguments and reasons, I look at them, that doesn't work, that's not right, something seems wrong there. So maybe that's just how I'm wired, I guess. And so it just things will go over to other people's houses. Instead of having a good time, I'm like, let's see, is this set up properly? You know, because I'm a stickler for those things. I mean, I'm not going to be able to just safety-proof the world around my children, but you try to have common sense. And that's what these like industrial videos try to show people. And it's a different side of things. So for you or me, for most of our jobs, they're not super dangerous if we're in like the service industry or working in an office building or working from home. I mean, it's like, oh no, carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, oh no, sedentary lifestyle. I mean, my job's probably going to kill me in like 25 years from like heart disease because I'm sitting. It's very sedentary. But there are jobs, you know, logging, construction, mining, other kinds of trades and fields where it can be dangerous. And so you have to practice safety involved. So I enjoy looking into see what is it like to have these jobs. And one of the interesting ways to look into that is to watch the safety videos that are produced for these different kinds of fields. My favorite ones, though, are like the old school 1970s, 1980s, as old school as you can get for the safety videos. Some of them, though, like the newer ones, it's interesting. You go back old school, they lean into the grim consequences of breaking safety rules. Then you go into more recent ones. They try to be a bit more lighthearted. There was one, actually. If you are listening to this on the podcast, by the way, go check us out on the YouTube channel because you can actually watch the videos that I'm talking about here, though they're still totally fun to listen to. But at the end of the video, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to share my reaction to what I think is the goriest safety video on YouTube that I've come across. Like, it's just blood everywhere. I only watched like the first like 10 or 15 seconds of it and was like, I can't watch this anymore. So I'm going to subject myself to the entire video. You can watch my reaction to that on the YouTube channel. Go to Council of Trent on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, and you're not familiar with the podcast, consider downloading the podcast so you can have the audio on your phone to listen to, or at least going and leaving a review at iTunes or Google Play, because that's always fun to do. So, all right, let's jump into the first one. And this was really the video that inspired me to revisit industrial safety videos for this episode. It was created by Caterpillar Tractors back in 1980. So Caterpillar, you know, is that brand that has the big bulldozers, heavy equipment. Whenever you drive by a big construction site, you got these big yellow vehicles. They're usually going to be Caterpillar vehicles. And so you could tell it's old school because the way it starts when I play the video is it has the focus card for someone who is at like a projector reel to focus. You make sure the video is in focus and then to make sure the sound is going properly. But it's called Shake Hands with Danger. And you'll see as we play it what that means. So actually here, we'll jump ahead in the video to talk about it. It opens with a guy. He's on like a big, yellow Caterpillar machine. Looks like it has like kind of a grinding inner wheel to it. And he tells the guy in the cab, hey, don't touch anything. I'm going to climb up there and fix something. And 9 times out of 10, that is how somebody gets injured on a job site, especially with heavy machinery, is they expect a machine to not be functioning. They say, I'm not going to go through all the safety shutdown procedures. I'm just going to quick run up there, make a check with that, quick fix that, and then get back to work. I was driving around the other day trying to think of, like, if I was a safety guy, like what slogan I would put on a poster board in the office. And I was thinking of something like, I've spent years wishing I spent a few more minutes. Because that's what happens to you. And it's not just you or me. Think about when we're driving in our cars. Like, you know, and you fall into the temptation to look at your cell phone and check a text message while you're driving. And most of the time, you know, you get away with it. Nothing happens. But sometimes you can be distracted. You get into an accident and you think, wow, if only I had just, I wanted to save a few minutes at that moment. But if you make a horrible mistake, you spend years wishing you had spent the extra few minutes to be safe. So here's how Shake Hands with Danger begins. This guy's up there and his supervisor comes over and he is not happy.
Hey, get down from there. Now.
Somebody's in trouble. You're going to find out why.
Hey, turn it over. What if it bumped that control by accident? You'd be mincemeat by now. What have I told you? You don't work on equipment when the engine's running.
Well, I told him not to touch anything.
Darn punk kids. Even though this guy is way older than I am, if he's still alive by now, but kids.
All right, I guess I wasn't thinking.
You weren't thinking? You mean you'll work on engines and machinery and not think of your own personal safety?
Very realistic dialogue.
Here, shake hands with Danger.
Shake hands with Danger. Need a guy who ought to know. I used to laugh at safety. Now they call me Three Finger Joe.
I mean, it's not funny. Somebody who loses their fingers in an accident, that isn't funny. But I just love, throughout this video, the theme is somebody does something stupid, and then there's a guitar riff, and it looks like they've just shake hands with Danger.
Shake hands with Danger. Find it anywhere you choose. Be careless for a moment. Spend a lifetime with the blues.
So I love that. Just careless for a moment, a lifetime with the blues. So they've got a lot of these in here. Usually it's guys that get up too high on something or they don't shut off a machine. There's one in here that absolutely gives me the willies. So if you want to fast forward by about 5 minutes to not hear this one because it's kind of a graphic reenactment, feel free, especially if you're watching it here on YouTube. But here's one where you're switching out the giant buckets on the front of these big Caterpillar front loaders. So there's a guy in the driver's seat moving the cab up, like the tractor, to lock it into the big front scoop loader. And someone's got to slide the pin in to get that all together. And somebody's going to be shaking hands with Danger.
Oddly enough, it isn't lack of familiarity with a job that causes most accidents. Often it's the routineness of the work that makes a person overconfident. Now, Bill Myers is changing buckets, a job he's done at least 100 times. If he were new at it, Bill would...
I think this is the same guy who got yelled at the beginning of the video. I'm not sure, but whoever it is, Bill Myers is routinely shaking hands with Danger.
Be watching and thinking about every step. Now it's so routine that caution has been dulled. The hole is dry. The pin won't slide in. There's no stick or swab in the grease can, but he could surely find one if he took the time to search around. This is the moment.
So the idea here is that he needs to, you know, slide the pin in to connect this big scoop to the big tractor that is pushed up to it. So it's just the locking pin to keep it into place. But it just won't fit in there. It's too dry. You got to get some grease in there to be able to do that. And, you know, the tractor is still plugged into this little hole. And it's like, okay, I'll just quick go in and do that. But
that split second when a man decides between being safe or shaking hands with Danger.
No, Bill, don't shake hands with Danger. Because then there's a bee in the cab, and he's got his hand in the hole, And the guy's going to swat and hit the bee, but he's gonna knock the lever. Oh! And then the car moves away, and then there goes his hand! There goes his hand! Oh! Oh! Yeah, so... Oh.
If he couldn't find a stick or a swab, Bill could have had the linking members moved apart and greased them separately. It would have been a nuisance, but Bill Myers would give anything to be able to go back and do it the right way.
Now that he lost his hand, you know what he won't be doing? Shaking hands with danger. Oh, my goodness. But I mean, it's important. It's important for people to know when things go wrong in these situations. There's always a fine line in these reenactments between being cheesy and being so gory a person can't actually focus on it. All right, so the next one I want to talk about are line snapping training videos. So line snapping deals with the mooring cables and ropes that are used to secure boats and ships to the pier or the dock when they're in port. I mean, when you go down to any marina, you'll have little motorboats and things like that that are tied with rope down to the dock. But imagine like a giant Navy destroyer. They're still using just really thick ropes and cables to secure the boat to the dock. And so they have to make sure they're doing this safely because the line can be stretched. And when it's stretched, it can eventually snap and it can snap. And then when it snaps, it usually snaps back in a particular area or angle. And if it snaps back, it can literally cut somebody in half. So this is a training video for the U.S. Navy back in the 1980s. By the way, I think that was back then was also when the Navy worked with Hollywood in order to promote the Navy. That's why Top Gun had all those shots on naval bases and naval flight training was because they basically wanted to use Top Gun to help recruit people. But in any case, so here's some of that training view from the 1980s about synthetic line snapping and what to watch out for on a naval ship.
Take some more turns!
The villain on this ship is preparing to strike. When he does, he may injure any of these men, and he's capable of inflicting serious injury.
He was the rope. He was hanging with them the whole time.
Check line one!
Occasionally, the villain kills.
Look, so I hold one eye.
Yo, Woody, hold number one!
Hold one! Fire to the fox on double!
At 700 feet per second, the parted line snaps back at nearly the speed of a 45 caliber bullet. Anything in its path is sent tumbling. It lashes with a force like the proverbial ton of bricks. The fragile human body can be torn apart by this vicious assault. The synthetic line villain didn't strike any real sailors in this crew. The injuries we portrayed were to mannequins dressed as deck crewmen.
I like that the narrator told me that, even though it's clearly obvious in the video that these are not sailors, that they're mannequins and that they're falling over in their same positions. But, you know, maybe he didn't know what the video would portray. By the way, there is a decommissioned aircraft carrier in San Diego Harbor I used to take my kids to. And in the back, there are mannequin sailors that are just placed in the back that stare out at you. And I always thought that was real creepy. Okay, so this next video deals with a hazard called Delta P, or differential pressure. This is basically what happens when water enters from one area of pressure to another area of lower pressure. The exiting water can have a very strong current or flow that can entrap people. So imagine that you have like a huge canister of water, right? And it's connected to a much smaller canister. If you open a gap between the two, the one with a lot more water is going to start to empty into the smaller one. And then there's going to be a force if it's passing through a very narrow hole between the two. So that's just Delta P, right? That's, you know, that's a hazard that you really only think about when you're standing outside of a swimming pool and you look down at the pool drain, right? Because that's Delta P in action right there. If you didn't have a grate over the pool drain, and it was just one pool drain, all of the water in the swimming pool is going out that small hole, and if you're by it, you'll be sucked in, and if you cover the hole with your body, you'll be entrapped with the force of the water above you. It can be like trying to lift a car off somebody. So that's why modern pool drains have they're elevated and have a lot of holes, and the pool should have more than one drain. That way, if one of them is blocked, the other drains can take the pressure and you can free the person and they can free themselves. But if it's just one grate that's damaged, especially, it's likely somebody could be entrapped there and they can drown, or they can be severely injured in ways that I don't even want to describe to you right now. That's why I always get terrified of pool drains. And I'm like, I want to make sure the pools my kid's swimming in are safe, they're inspected, and they're up to code. So this is a hazard for commercial divers, you know, who are working around dams or really anywhere with water, where water is flowing. It can create this pressure, even in unlikely circumstances. So this is from a Delta P training video to help divers understand where these hazards occur. And this one occurs in a situation you wouldn't think of. This is in January of 1989. The incident had one fatality, and there he was, a diver who was trying to fix an offshore oil well. So he's trying to fix the well. It's at the bottom of the ocean, so he's on the seafloor next to it. And they're pulling up a cork, or they're pulling up a device out of the well, and he thinks he's safe, but he's actually not, and he's going to be in a Delta P situation. And he doesn't realize it. So I'll play the incident for you, and the narration does a good job explaining what happens.
A surface supply diver was working offshore in 86 feet of water on a well reentry project.
So surface supply means he's not wearing a scuba tank. His oxygen is coming through a tender or a cable connected to him into a helmet he's wearing.
He was using a drill string to hook a trash cap inside a 13-inch well casing. The first attempt failed to catch the cap. The diver was asked to stand by the hole to make sure the string caught the cap. He reported when he saw the cap was hooked and began to leave.
Okay, so we've got here's a well at the bottom of the ocean, and it's only 13 inches in diameter. It's very small, and he's trying to get the cable to connect to the cap and just pull the cap out. So he thinks job is done, and he's about to walk away.
The drill string was pulled to the surface rapidly. Because the cap was nearly the size of the casing, a great suction developed. As the cap came free, the rushing water grabbed the diver and forced one leg into the hole, up to the pelvis. The diver was killed.
Oh gosh. So what happened is that the cap goes up and it creates a vacuum behind it. So now, because there is this empty space in the well that's just air, as soon as the cap leaves, all of the seawater is going to rush in to this 13-inch hole. You've got all this seawater around you. That creates enormous differential pressure, or delta P. And the poor diver, he got his leg was just snapped into the hole right up to the pelvis, probably put him into shock or blunt force trauma or drowning or a combination. My goodness. I mean, pray for the souls of the people, you know, obviously, who lose their lives in these incidents. It's nothing to make light of, especially when it, you know, there's one thing to have dramatic reenactments, though many times those are based on real things that do happen. When you look at case studies, you always have to balance between the tragedy that befell this individual and the good that can come from it, and that other people can learn so that the same tragedy, it doesn't affect other people. But, oof. All right, so this next video deals with another serious issue, but it goes at it more with a comedic element, at least to introduce the topic. And so there's pluses and minuses to this. If you make it too funny, haha, people aren't going to take it seriously. But if it's too grim, people start to shut down, or they don't want to hear it. So whenever you try to do humor in these training videos, you always have to balance it out. And this one, I think it's a little cheesy, but it's not too over the top. I mean, the ones that have really over the top and bad acting, it's like, ugh. But this one, you know, what it's trying to do, I think it's okay. So this video is dealing with lockout tagout. So a lot of times people are injured in factories or plants. A lot of injuries occur when someone attempts to do maintenance on a machine or fix a problem with a machine, and then the machine starts without the person realizing it, and they're in the midst of the components, and they're injured or killed by the machine's components. So an important safety procedure to go through so that doesn't happen to you is lockout tagout. That means you take the machine and you lock it out from all of its potential sources of energy. That means locking the control panel so it can't be turned on, disconnecting the power source so it can't be turned on, then leaving security tags to let people know, hey, this was locked out by this person. You need two or three keys to restart the machine because you don't want to be in a situation where you're trying to clean something and someone else is told, hey, get that machine running, and they don't know that you're in there, and then they start the machine up and really, really bad things can happen. Although, even with lockout, tagout, there are still dangers. There's dangers like kinetic energy. Even if a machine is turned off, some of the components will, and so the electricity's off, some of the components will still be carrying energy. They'll have kinetic energy, so that they're still moving. Like if you're on a conveyor belt, the rotating parts of a conveyor belt, like the silver ones, could still be spinning at a high rate, even though the electricity's been turned off. And so it could pinch your fingers or jam your hand in there. You can have potential energy. You could have where you've turned off a machine, but let's say it's like a bulldozer or an excavator, a front loader that has a scoop. You've turned the machine off, it's completely off, but because the scoop is raised up in the air, if something fails in the machine, like it's hydraulics, the scoop will come down and it could pinch you or crush you, and you don't realize it because there's still energy because it's high up and it's heavy, for example. So all things have to be considered, but this video, you know, it begins with saying, hey, it starts with a disembodied head around a bunch of machinery, and they're like, hey, what happened to you? You're just a disembodied head. Oh, yeah, I used to have body parts, but I didn't do lockout, tagout, and here's what happens. So here's how they play it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, excuse me,
you work here?
Yeah, I do maintenance, but I've worked all over.
But,
the rest of me?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've had my share of accidents along the way. Lost my legs while doing repairs on a hydraulic press. Had an unexpected release of pressurized nitrogen.
Uh-oh, that's gonna leave marks.
When it blew, it sent a 3,000-pound valve system 200 yards.
I love that when it's supposed to send something 300 yards, you've got three guys who all jump at the same time. Like, okay.
Actually fared better than the guys I was working with. I lost my right arm when a conveyor belt went off track. You see, I shut it off, and then I went up on the catwalk clearing debris so I could reach the belt. Well, as I was reaching in, the machine suddenly got restarted and pulled my arm into the knit point. Joe's the one who turned it on, but, you know, it's not his fault. He didn't know I was working on the thing at the time.
No, it is Joe's fault. He was shaking hands with danger. No, I'm just kidding. It would not be Joe's fault. It would be the fault of whoever did not lock out and tag out the equipment.
My other arm? Glove got caught in an unguarded rotating auger. Took it right off. The rest I lost when I fell into the blades of a large ribbon blender. The cleaning hose brushed up against the on-off switch. Like the hair? Electrocution. Equipment wasn't properly grounded. Yeah, I've had a few incidents over the years, but hey, who's counting? Besides, I get twice as much work now. I'm the only one who can clean the insides of a lot of the machinery.
I really hope that this is just this guy's regular voice when he's talking about things. So in any case, thank you guys so much for spending this free-for-all Friday with me. I'll leave descriptions and links to these videos in the description on our YouTube channel as well as at trendhornpodcast.com. If you're listening to the podcast, be sure to go and check out the YouTube channel. Click subscribe, leave a link there. Also go to trendhornpodcast.com to become a premium subscriber, get access to our catechism study series, be able to submit questions for future episodes. Go and check all that out. But if you are listening on podcast and you're not listening on YouTube, go and check out YouTube, because at the end of this episode, I'm going to show my reaction to the goriest safety video on YouTube that I've found. It wouldn't make much sense for podcasts. It's perfect for YouTube, and I'll be sharing it there. And if you're watching right now on YouTube and you don't want to see gore and awfulness, just stop the video right now. Stop it right now. You don't have to keep going. Everybody who's listening or watching, I hope you have a really great weekend, a very blessed weekend. If you're watching on YouTube, fair warning. That's the last warning here. Next up, my reaction to the goriest safety video on YouTube.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content, For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.